Psalm 57. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 7, and I could have used many other verses, but this verse particularly caught my attention. My heart is fixed, or my heart is prepared. Salvation is a matter of the heart. God does a heart work in us. He's done a work for us, and He does a heart work in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. My heart is fixed. Or as the marginal reference has, my heart been prepared. Been prepared. I will sing. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing. I will sing of thy glory. And I will praise thee. I will praise thee. So the title from verse 7, my heart is fixed. Or my heart is prepared. Both are true. Both are true. The heart of the believer is fixed upon the exalted, victorious Lord Jesus Christ. Our heart is fixed upon Him. And we can also say our heart has been prepared by Him to serve Him, to worship Him. To serve Him and to worship Him. Saving faith is always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has fixed our heart by giving us a new heart that loves Him, that believes Him. Now notice in the subtitle to this Psalm 57, Al-Tashkit means destroy not, destroy not. David prays for safety from his enemies when he was running from King Saul, when he fled from Saul in the cave. And also the word Miktam, which means a golden psalm or a precious secret psalm of David, for he revealed unto us the secret of his strength and the joy of his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ was all of David's hope. While David was fleeing from King Saul, his father-in-law, he was also fleeing to the King of Glory in his heart for refuge and strength to give him grace to help in his time of need. You remember our Lord said in Hebrews chapter 4, seeing we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Psalm 46 said, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Turn back over there. Psalm 46. Again, this is one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. A very present help in trouble. He is always our help. There is no helper like Him. We look unto Him to provide all things for us in salvation, don't we? Now, look at verse 1. Be merciful unto me. David, how many times throughout the Psalms, I looked this up today. The word mercy, just looking up the word mercy in the book of Psalms, it's used 99 times. 150 Psalms. And the word mercy is used 99 times. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. My soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings. That's close, isn't it? The shadow of thy wings. Symbolic language. I will make my refuge. Make my refuge trusting in Him, trusting in thee. Until all these calamities, all these troubles, all these problems are gone. A wise man taught of God will pray and ask for mercy. The publican did, and he received mercy. Blind Bartimaeus did, and he was healed. He asked for mercy. The leper cried for mercy, and the Lord healed him. That's a good place to be as a sinner before God's throne. As my old friend used to say, we come to God as mercy beggars. Mercy beggars, needing mercy. David said in Psalm 51, and this is a well-known psalm. Let's turn back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, where he cries out, verse 1, Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Blot out my, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. What do sinners need? Mercy. What do we need? Mercy. Mercy. So we come to God as a mercy beggar, and I've never read one time in the scripture where God ever turned away a mercy beggar. Every needy sinner that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord met their every need. That'll encourage us to come to Christ, to call upon Him. It's right to pray for mercy. It's right to seek mercy where it's found. Where is mercy found? Not in the law, but in Christ. Turn over one page to Psalm 59, verse 16. I will sing of thy power, verse 16, Psalm 59. I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of trouble. Unto thee, O my God, I will sing, for God is my defense, and he's the God of my mercy. He's the fountainhead and the well of mercy. Since God is the God of mercy, he's called the God of all grace, he's called the Father of mercy, who delights to show mercy, it's most fitting, therefore, we should seek mercy where it's found, in Christ Jesus. He delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. Someone said, mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. For we deserve nothing but judgment. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. What do we deserve? Judgment. I don't want that. I want mercy. I want mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They're new every day, every morning. We studied last week Psalm 86, 15, where it said His mercy, He's plenteous in mercy. His mercies are unfailing. They're new every day. You remember Psalm 136, I think we looked at that last week. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The mercies of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting. His mercies are eternal mercies. He doesn't show us mercy one day and then stop the next. They're new every morning. We know His mercy is sovereign. He will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that shows mercy. His mercy is my greatest need. I need mercy. I need mercy. You remember what it says in Ephesians 2, but God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, He quickened us together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. And then he says, look at verse 1 again, Psalm 57, my soul trusteth in thee. We trust in the Lord. When are we to trust him? We're to trust him at all times. Trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Look right across the page at Psalm 56. Verse 3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. You remember Psalm 62, we're to trust him at all times. Trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He has all power to save us. He has all righteousness to justify us. He has all grace to sustain us, all wisdom to enlighten us. Trust him at all times, at all times. I found this statement some time ago in a bulletin, and I copied it out and stuck it on my computer screen. It was written by Thomas Brooks in 1680. I like those old writers because they all, for the most part, believed grace. Salvation by the grace of God. Thomas Brooks said, God in himself has all power to save you and defend you. He has all wisdom to direct you. He has all mercy to pardon you. He has all grace to enrich you. He has all righteousness to clothe you. All goodness to supply you. All happiness to crown you. Boy, we serve a great God, don't we? God who is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, quickened us together with Christ. Now look at the last part of verse 1. In the shadow of thy wings I'll make my refuge. It's a good thing to do to find refuge in the place that God has provided. The Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge. He's our hiding place. In the shadow of thy wings I'll make my refuge until all these troubles, all these calamities are past. And really, that's our whole life, isn't it? Man that's born of woman, few days and full of trouble. Till all these calamities be past, where do we find our refuge? Where do we find our rest? In Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the shadow of his wings, like little helpless baby chicks, they find their refuge from the storm under the wings of that mother hen. And when the storm comes up and she holds out her wings, those little bitty chicks, they run underneath mama and she hugs them up. And that's what we do when we're in trouble, when we need help, and the Lord has provided such a gracious refuge for us. Turn over here to see if we can find Psalm 36, verse 7. Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see life. How excellent is thy loving kindness. We put our trust in him who is our refuge, in him who is our redemption, in him who is our reconciliation, in him who is our righteousness alone. Now look at verse 2. Our prayer, I will cry, and that's the cry of the heart. That's what true prayer is. Sincere prayer is the cry of the heart. The cry of the heart. God looks on the heart. He don't need to speak a word. Just cry in your heart. And that's what prayer is. It's a cry of the heart unto God Most High. Unto God Most High. Unto God that performeth, he performeth. Now notice the two words, all things, are italicized. That means that the translators have added those words to help clarify the statement, and in this case it does help. God performs all things for me. Everything God demands of us, the Lord Jesus Christ has performed for us. His past performance is a guarantee of our salvation. However exalted our enemies may seem to be, our great God and Savior is higher. He has no rival. For there's none higher. He can easily defend us and deliver us and defeat all our enemies. Remember from Revelation chapter 6, he went forth conquering and to conquer. He performeth all things for us. For us. Look right across the page. It's Psalm 56 verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is for me. God is for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Paul said in Romans 8. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. All things. Whatever the Lord undertakes for us, he will accomplish it, and it will be absolutely successful, right? We cannot accomplish our salvation. That's impossible. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are possible. God, who has begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He will perfect it. until the day the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. He performs all things for us. Sin put away, that's His performance. Righteousness established for us, that's His performance. Let me read this to you, found in Job 23, verse 13. But He is of one mind, who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. He performeth the thing that's appointed for me. Job 23:14. He performeth the thing that's appointed for me. Many such things are with him. Our salvation is by his appointment. He's appointed us unto salvation in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 44 says this. He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. That's what God says of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, he shall perform all my pleasure. And he did. You remember Isaiah 53:10, where it says the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Everything he does, the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, God made it to prosper. Joseph of old, you remember he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And God raised him up to be a king and governor there in Egypt. And God made everything that he did to prosper. And he's a type and picture of Christ. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ undertook for us, it prospers. He performed all things for us. Salvation is his performance, not ours. Based upon his performance, not ours. Now, look what he did in verse 3. He shall send from heaven. Now, who performed that? Our Lord performed that. He shall send from heaven, from the highest resources possible. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He shall send from heaven and do what? Save me. Remember what the angel told Joseph, called his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. He didn't try to save them, make an effort to save them, or put them in a savable place. He saved them when he put away their sin by the sacrifice of himself. He shall send from heaven and he shall save them from every enemy. Everything against us, our sin, death, hell, and judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us from our sin, being made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He saves us from the reproach of him that will swallow us up. God shall send forth his mercy. God shall send forth his truth. Now this is mercy personified. Mercy in a person. This is truth personified. He sends forth mercy and truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember our Lord said of himself? When Thomas said, show us the way, and he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. God shall send forth mercy, sovereign mercy, effectual mercy, and his truth. Now, I've got written in my Bible here, Psalm 85:10 for reference. You remember, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Reconciliation happened at the cross. God was in Christ, reconciling us unto himself. Mercy and truth. Turn over here to Psalm, or rather the book of Proverbs. Let's see if we can find Proverbs 16. This is an interesting verse. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 16, verse 2, all thy ways, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. For the Lord himself hath made all things, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in his heart is abominations of the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Now watch verse 6. Here's that mercy and truth again. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By mercy and truth. It's like that verse purpose, and grace. They all go together, don't they? That God might be a just God and Savior. Now look at verse 4, Psalm 57. David said, "My soul's among lions." And he's talking about his own family that was hunting him. Remember, he said he felt like a hunted bird. "My soul's among lions. Those who would devour me." You remember what Satan is called, a roaring lion? "My soul's among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire." They hated David. "Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." David had his enemy, didn't he? But David had a captain of his salvation who would not let David despair. David, like Daniel, you remember Daniel in the land of Babylon? Daniel was among lions that sought his destruction. Daniel was delivered to the lion's den, remember? And was delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, like David. Satan is called a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth in the case of Daniel. And when Satan came after Peter, when the Lord told him, "Satan had desired to sift you that he may have you," and the Lord said, "I prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith fail not." That your faith fail not. You remember this scripture? Don't turn, let me just read it to you. In Isaiah 54, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of thy servant, of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." No weapon that's formed shall prosper against you. That's because the Lord causes all his grace toward us to prosper. Now look at verse 5 and verse 11. We'll consider these two verses together because it's repeated. "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens." How high above the heavens is our God? "Let thy glory be above all the earth." Again, he repeats that in verse 11. "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." All the earth and all the heaven, God is high above. This is every believer's desire, the exaltation and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, "God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is exalted to the right hand of God, having put away our sin. Christ, therefore, of necessity deserves all honor and glory. That's the eternal song of redeemed, isn't it? "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, and power, both now and forever." The believer's desire is for Christ to exalt himself in us. Christ in you is a hope of glory, and therefore we desire to exalt him. "Be thou exalted." Exalted, high above the heavens, high above the earth. Now, verse 6, "They have prepared a net for my steps." That's what David's enemies planned for him. "They prepared a net, a trap, and my soul is bowed down. They've digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves." Here they plot and plan against David, and yet God turned all their plans against them. Oftentimes the plot of the enemy to destroy the saints of God become the destruction of their own soul. This was true in the case of King Saul pursuing David. God delivered him into David's hand. Those who sought Daniel's destruction in the lion's den, you remember what happened to them? They ended up in the lion's den themselves. and the Lord had his way with them. You remember in the book of Esther, Haman built the gallows for Mordecai, the servant of God, and Haman ended up being hanged on those gallows he prepared for Mordecai. Joseph sold his brethren into slavery, and Joseph ended up on the throne in Egypt. The Jews sought to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ, but ended up bringing destruction upon themselves by the hand of the Romans in 70 AD. David ends this psalm with words of praise and thanksgiving in verse 7 down through verse 10. Let's look at verse 7 for a minute. My heart is fixed, or my heart has been prepared, O God. My heart is being prepared. Now, you remember David is called a man after God's own heart. Salvation indeed is a heart work. It's God doing a work not only for us, but it's God also doing a work in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When the scripture talks about our heart, when he says, my heart is fixed, he's talking about a believing heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Now, often we use this, and we do this when we talk about don't believe with your mind, believe in your heart. And we always point here. But really, it's not talking about the physical heart in our chest. When he's talking about, when it, scriptures talk about the heart, it's our mind, it's our understanding, it's our will, it's our affections, everything that makes us up. The core person that we are, that's our heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. When Philip was sent to preach the gospel to the eunuch, and he did so from Isaiah 53, preaching Christ and him crucified, wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity. And the eunuch asked Philip, what hinders me to be baptized? And Philip said unto him, if thou believest with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's believing with the heart. By his almighty grace, our hearts have been changed. He's given us a new heart. He made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He's nigh them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. That's what he does when he gives us and when he regenerates us and he makes us new creatures in Christ. Grace has changed our mind. We now think upon him. We set our affection on things above. Grace has changed our understanding. He's enlightened us. He's commanded the light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace has changed our mind. Grace has changed our understanding. He's given us an understanding that we might know him that is true. Grace has changed our will. Man has a will, but it's fallen, depraved. He makes us willing in the day of his power. Grace has changed our affections. We now, man by nature hates God, the true and living God. We now love him, not like we ought to, but we love him because he first loved us. We love him and now we hate ourselves. Wasn't that the experience of Saul of Tarsus when he was that self-righteous Pharisee? He's in love with himself. But when God saved him by his grace, you remember what his testimony was then? O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was the experience of Isaiah when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Remember what Isaiah said? Woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. Wasn't that the experience of Job? When Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, wherefore now my eye seeth thee, wherefore I hate myself. That's what happens when God gives us a new heart. We see ourselves as sinners. We see God is holy. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ as our all and in all. My heart is fixed. Our heart is not frustrated, but fixed upon the object of our faith. What is the object of our faith? Our heart is fixed on Christ. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved." My heart has been prepared or made ready to worship Him, to honor Him, to wait upon Him, His good providence, to serve the Lord with gladness, and to witness to others of the greatness of our God and to sing of His goodness. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing. What do we sing of? I will sing of my Redeemer, of His wondrous love to me. Awake up, my soul. And that's the word there, my glory, my soul. Awake with the instrument and sing praise unto Him, the psaltery, the harp. I myself, I wake early in the morning and I'll praise Him. I will praise Thee, O Lord, verse 9, among the people. Among God's people, I'll praise Him among the Lord's people. And I'll sing unto Thee among the nations. Among the nations I'll sing unto Thee, unto Thy truth. David said over here in Psalm 138, I will praise Thee with my whole heart before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. I will praise Thee. I will bless Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee, even among the nations, even among the heathen. Remember, the heathen came to David and said, David, where is your God? They knew where their God was. They could pat him on the head. David said, our God's in the heavens. He's done whatsoever He has pleased. Our God is no mere idol. Thy mercy, again, verse 10, is great unto the heavens. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Mercy and truth. Can't get away from that, can you? Mercy and truth are met together. Be Thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Thy glory be above all the earth. The glory of God. Where the glory of God shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Moses asked the Lord, Lord, show me Your glory. And remember what the Lord answered back? He said, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. That's His glory, to show mercy. God's greatest glory is my greatest need. His greatest glory is to show mercy. That's my greatest need. Not by works of righteousness, but we have done, but according to His mercy. According to His mercy, He saved us. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.